Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Finding the perfect baby name is sometimes a challenge for parents. And let's face it, there's a lot of pressure. So how do you go about creating your initial list? And how do you narrow down the possibilities to determine which name is best? Here to provide some answers is Pamela Redmond-Satrin, co-creator of Nameberry.com and co-author of several baby name books. This is Preggy Pals, episode 5.
Is that a plus sign?
Pink or blue?
Hospital or home birth?
What type of food should I be eating?
I think I just peed myself.
I'm pregnant and I have to exercise.
What pregnancy glow?
Wait, was that a contraction?
Gotta make these pants fit.
I've got kinkles.
What do you mean there's more than one?
You've got the symptoms and now you've got the support you need for a happy 9 months. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy your way. Welcome to Preggy Pals, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. I'm your host, Sunny Galt. Thanks so much for joining us. Preggy Pals is all about our listeners. You can visit our website at preggypals.com for more information on how you can become part of our show. It's very important to us. You can join our conversation by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. You can also send us comments or
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Suggestions through the contact section of our website or call the Preggy Pals hotline. And that number is 619-866-4775. Let's start with our introductions. I'm Sunny. Like I said, I am 34 years old. I am a web video host and producer and host of this show. My due date is April 28th. It's going to be a little boy. I have a little boy at home already. And we are having a C-section, which is scheduled for April 23rd.
My name is Rochelle DeMayo, and I teach college part-time. My due date is June 23rd, and we are expecting a little boy. It's our second little boy, and we are hoping for a vaginal birth.
I'm Cherry Christensen. I'm 31 years old, and I work in consumer research. I'm also due on June 23rd with my first child, and we're waiting to find out if it's a boy or a girl, which we're very excited for, just a couple more weeks, and we're hoping to have this baby at home.
Okay, welcome to the show, ladies. Before we start today's show, here are some fabulous maternity fashion trends.
Hello, Preggy Pals. I am Crystal Stubendeck, maternity fashion expert and founder of Borrow for Your Bump, where you can buy and rent designer maternity styles for a monthly rate. Today, we will help you find the perfect pair of jeans for your expecting months. As your bump grows, finding a style that works for your body type can be challenging, let alone finding a pair that is flattering and comfortable as your body changes. Jeans are a must-have for your maternity wardrobe, and so hopefully we can pair you with one that fits just right. The straight leg jean is one style that everyone can wear. This look is similar to the skinny jean, but is much more forgiving, especially those with curvy hips, full thighs, or thick calves. The straight leg jean should fit slim through the hips and thighs, but not too baggy. Otherwise, it can make you look bigger than you are. And what to wear with them? A fitted top and fun flats. Try the Dark Wash Skinny Jeans by Seraphine, which also is available in long sizes. And what about the ever-popular skinny jeans? Who can wear them? Mostly those with proportional figures. Those with a tummy or fuller hips can offset curves with skinny styles that have slightly roomier leg openings. Skinny styles should fit comfortable like second skin. Soft, stretchy denim shouldn't dig and bunch into the skin, especially as your body is changing. Be aware of a fit that is too constricting. Balance the tight-fitting jeans with a loose tunic top that is so cute with a growing bump. The best part is any shoe style goes with the skinny jean. Our recommendation is the Luxe Skinny Jean by Seraphine in gray, which is a favorite of January Jones. The flare jean, which is making a comeback again, is a style that almost everyone can wear. If you have full thighs, just choose a pair that is a little more fitted in the thighs. A full jean should fit snug around the hips and waist, but loose and flowing from the knee down. The pants should skim the floor and completely cover your footwear, at least to the top of the shoe. Pair this style with a fun-fitted tee and a blazer to show off the bump, or a loose peasant top to take the attention away from the center of the body. Balance the wide leg with a heel wider than the flare, like a wedge, which is more comfortable and will provide extra balance. Lastly, the bootcut fit can be worn by anyone. This fit is especially good at balancing and creating curves. The fit should start to taper at the knees and then slightly get wider as it reaches the floor. As the name says, enough for boots to fit. Pair the bootcut fit with a loose top that is comfy and some fun footwear. These are the jeans you can really play with. Dress it up with a loose blouse that cinches under the belly. We like the chiffon blouse with necktie by Seraphine in blue and black polka dots. As for our bootcut pick, make sure to find a pair that will grow with you, like the Union Laurel Cannon with higher panel by Paige Denim, which goes over the bump. Most likely, you won't need a maternity size until your second trimester, but every body and pregnancy is different. Comfort is key, and although the elastic panel on most maternity jeans will grow with you, you want to make sure there is enough hip space too. Denim is difficult to buy early on and keep your whole term because it has less stretch than other fabrics. For that reason, borrow for your bump is your best bet when shopping for maternity denim. With a variety of styles like skinny, boyfriend, bootcut, and well-known designers, you can rent for 30 days and return them for a new size as your bump grows. Don't forget to check out our denim styles mentioned at borrowforyourbump.com and be sure to listen to Preggy Pals for more great pregnancy tips.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special mom in your life. And what better way than with the Osea's limited edition skincare sets, featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets that are perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their advanced eye care duo brightens, awakens, and firms the skin around your eyes, while the golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths the skin all over. Both sets are packaged in giftable boxes. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. And the best part? For a limited time, you can save up to $46 on Osea's sets. Plus, get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. This Mother's Day, get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. Go to OseaMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off site-wide.
Today on Preggy Pals, we're tackling one of the biggest decisions parents will make on behalf of their children, and that's what to name them. As you know, it's not always an easy task, but here to help us navigate the name game is Pamela Redmond Satran. She's the co-founder of NameBerry.com, which is a popular baby name website. She's also the co-author of several baby name books. We're actually going to have a chance for you to win a couple of these books, including The Baby Name Bible and Beyond Ava and Aiden. So stay tuned for that. Pamela, welcome to the show, and thanks so much for joining us.
Great to be here. Thanks, Sunny.
Sure. Okay, so let's kick things off and talk about current trends. I know you talk about this in your books as well. What are some of the current trends we're experiencing when it comes to naming our babies?
One of the biggest trends we're seeing are what we call modern hero names. For an example of that, you could think of Mariah Carey naming her little girl Monroe after Marilyn Monroe. These might be presidential names like Lincoln or Kennedy. And a modern hero might be somebody in your own family, a grandparent you really admired. So I think people are looking to invest a name with more than just a pretty sound, either looking for a name that symbolizes a quality like true or justice, or a style, a place. People are looking for place names, such as the place their baby was conceived. And sometimes an ethnic name might be important to symbolize something about your family background, something beyond just the name itself.
I feel like people are really going outside the box right now and trying to find really unique names. I was born in the late 70s, and I feel like a lot of the names back then were pretty common. And now everybody that had more of a common name is ready to name their own babies. And I think that they may be thinking, okay, so, you know, there were 10 Jennifers or 10 Kellys in my class. And now they're thinking a little more outside of the box. Do you see that, you know, trending as well? People really trying to find more unique names for their babies?
Definitely, and that is borne out by statistics. There are just many more names in play, and fewer parents are picking the top 10 names, and more people are picking names that, you know, are unique or at least unusual.
Now, how quickly do these trends change? I mean, it's not really overnight. Is there some sort of generational, you know, change that we experience, or is it faster than that? How does that work?
Well, I think that different trends change at different rates. You see a top 10 name or a number one name like Jacob really staying up there year after year, Isabella. Those top 10 names move very slowly. But names like, one name we're seeing a kind of flash trend is fierce animal names like fox and bear. And I think a trend like that, like a fashion trend, can kind of come and go pretty quickly.
That's true. We're all looking at each other here in the studio when you said fox and bear.
Or, you know, a celebrity choice like Blue Ivy, you know, the Beyonce right. choice. I think that can kind of kick off, you know, a lot of people looking for color names, for instance. They might not be naming their baby Blue, but they might be naming her Indigo or Cerulean. Sometimes we're not even conscious of where the trend starts, and yet suddenly it's just in the air, and we're seeing a lot of names of that type.
Maybe I don't need a baby book. Maybe I need a pack of Crayola crayons. You know, one of those jumbo packs that have like 100 crayons
right.
in them. Maybe that's
what they come up with some really good names in there, right?
Yeah, and you know what? I think you bring up a good point, because I think that a lot of parents are looking beyond baby books or baby name sites to things like, you know, their family tree, to the phone book, to the map, to the dictionary, you know, kind of searching further and further afield for a name that is really unusual and distinctive.
Yeah, I have a tip for anyone looking for names. I look at the credit of movies. I do. That's a perfect place to find a baby name, because I feel like people in Hollywood are a little more, you know, eccentric or whatever. You know, they're more creative for sure.
Well,
right?
Most of those people chose their own names too. If you think about it, most of the names
true.
In the credits probably weren't their names their parents gave them. Just given how many people I know in LA who changed their names,
right? It's their show names.
Yeah,
or something,
exactly.
Right?
But I do the exact same thing too. I'm watching TV, and when the credits roll, I just look at all the names, hoping that something's just going to suddenly pop out at me. Just because it seems easier than sitting down and reading the book.
Well, I have a question here for the panelists here in the studio. Do you guys find yourself following trends? Do you not care about trends? What is your take and your plan for naming your babies?
I don't care about trends. I don't know. I don't like extremely common names where you name your child and there's 25 other kids that turn around. But I don't like names that are so out there that years later your kid's like, why did you call me Apple? You know what I mean? Or, you know, just, I don't know. I think it's good to be original, but I don't like when it just is so out there that your kid is going to end up getting teased for it for years and years and years, and I'm not one to follow trends like that.
Yeah,
and that was me. I had a hard time with my name growing up. My middle name is Haley, and actually there was a while when I was a teen where I really thought I just wanted to change my name and go by Haley. It's really hard to just suddenly go by a different name if you're not in Hollywood. But I just had a hard time with Cherry. I just thought it was, you know, it was so unique. Everyone in my class was Lisa or Lauren, and it was the same thing we were talking about with the Jennifers, really common names. And when I was very young, I was jealous, like, why couldn't I also be a Lisa? Why couldn't I also be a Lauren? Why did my parents have to give me this really weird name, which it has a story behind, so maybe I'll tell you guys later. But as I grew up and I got older, I realized that actually part of what I loved about my name was that I was in my 20s before I ever met somebody else with my name, and it was kind of cool. I just always, to this day, I have to spell it for people. I get called Sherry and Cherie, and I have to tell people it's Cherry, like the fruit. Not spelt like the fruit, but like the fruit.
The first time I met you, I think I said, you know, Sherry, and you're like, no, it's Cherry, like the fruit.
fruit.
Yeah, people have asked me, so is it really Cheryl? And I'm like, no, it's not Cheryl, it's Cherry, you know. And people, I get so many questions. I'm like, well, your parents on drugs, where did they get that
I get the
from?
Same thing, because yeah. with Sunny, you know, it's yeah. an unusual name, and people always say, okay, were your yeah. parents like flower children or whatever?
My sister-in-law is Sunny, and I'd never met a Sunny before I met her, and you're number two, so I only know two Sunnies, so I think it's pretty original.
It's nice because, you know, you have the playground effect, I like to call it, where, you know, if you say, you know, your baby's name on the playground, only one kid's going to turn around, right? Yeah. So it is nice, and you do feel really special. For my name in particular, I felt a lot of pressure growing up because with the name Sunny, you're expected to always be happy.
I was just going to ask
that. It's really
that,
true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is true. I met a Sunny once who was the, you know, exact opposite of what you thought. And I think she really struggled with her name growing up because she had dyed her hair black and she only wore black. And it was just one of those,
you
almost
like
a
that.
Goth thing.
Yeah.
You know?
You have the energetic personality that kind of goes with the name.
But I actually wonder if I have that personality
because of
my name. You know, it's kind of interesting because like a lot of parents choose to wait until they see their baby to be able to name their baby in the hospital because they want to make sure that the baby kind of matches the name. And I'm kind of wondering, and actually, Pam, maybe you can kind of address this a little bit. You know, do you think babies kind of grow into their names? You know, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves as parents to come up with the perfect name. But do you think we can kind of grow into our names as we progress in life?
Well, I know that a lot of parents who come to Nameberry do believe that, say that they've seen that with their children and kind of have a hope, because when you're choosing a name, you don't really know who your baby is going to become. And so a name does kind of symbolize who you want them to be. And different names have different levels of pressure. Certainly Sunny's got to be one of the,
the top
biggest
ones.
Pressure names, you know. And then there are names that are very dramatic, like the one that springs to mind might be like Persephone, you know, that it's a whole lot of name. And if you're just kind of an average little girl, it might be it might be a lot to live up to. Mm-hmm. I have a son named Joe. And in a way, that sort of is the opposite thing, which is just, you know, Joe is like regular Joe, and my Joe is anything but a regular Joe, from the way he looks to the way he acts. So I think that his name is, you know, kind of sets up an expectation that he doesn't live up to.
Right.
I think it says more about what we hope as parents than it says about who our children really become.
Sure. I know with my son Noah, I kept picturing a little boy with, you know, blonde hair and blue eyes, and that's all I could see every time, the whole time I was pregnant. With this pregnancy, I'm not at all like that. But with my first, it seemed like I was just so adamant that he was going to come out with blonde hair and blue eyes to the point, where we actually had two other names picked out should he come out differently, because I couldn't picture him. I pictured him a certain way, very active but happy and easygoing, and I thought, if he comes out so different than my imagination, I couldn't call him that. But when he came out, he actually ended up being little Noah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I love the name. So it's,
I love
you
the
know,
name too. That's great.
It's, when you like it, it's hard. And my husband, my name's somewhat unusual. Rochelle, there's not too many Rochelles, but my mm-hmm. husband, his name is Jastin.
That's really cool.
And I love it. I would totally have a son with a Jastin, you know, have another Jastin, but my husband's like, no, I don't want a junior.
Wants to be more unique.
Yeah, and I love it because it's similar to Justin. I always love Justin. I always love the name Jason, but Jastin is just kind of very unique, and mm-hmm. I've never met someone named Jastin before, so I really like it because it's out there, but it's not too out there.
Right. Pam, what are some of the general do's and don'ts when it comes to choosing a baby name? What advice do you have for parents out there?
I think that parents, moms and dads, should try to come up with a name that both feel good about. It might not be your number one name, but I think you both should be on board with the choice. And so that's one rule. A second rule is that it should really be your choice and not a choice that you feel pressured into by family or friends. When we do see baby name regret on Nameberry, the number one reason for the regret is, you know, your mother-in-law pressured you into naming the baby after her father, and you just don't like the name, and you never feel comfortable with it. And a third thing I would say is that parents should really take their time and talk about not only the names, but maybe their feelings and the reasons behind the names, because names can often symbolize deeper memories, deeper feelings about important things like family, gender identity, that kind of bear, you know, talking about in a bigger way rather than letting the conversation devolve quickly into, you know, Ruby, that's a horrible name. You know, how could you think that? Just kind of take the time to figure out, you know, what is it about Ruby that he loves so much?
Right. Yeah.
I find there's so many names that I'd go through a book and I like them. And you know, my husband, everyone knows my husband and I are really struggling with this. And part of the reason is that we're not spending that much time doing it because we're struggling.
So
we're
well, just you have a lot going on in your life.
We do have a lot going on. So, but, you know, a name, I'll pick out a name and he's like, oh, no, I used to know someone with that name and I
well,
don't like
that.
That's
tough because
you don't
want to think about that, right?
And it's like, well, there's almost every name in the book's either way too out there or we know someone by it. And there was a name that I always had in mind for a little girl. And, you know, recently, within the past year, I met someone with that name, and this person had such a negative impact on my life that I was like, oh my God, I don't think I could ever name my child that anymore. And I'm like, here's this name that would have been a family name that now I'm like, I just don't think I can use that. So you do have to agree. On a side note, my husband and I adopted a little cat, a kitten, what was this, probably about 3 years ago. And we just did not know what to name him. We named my girl cat Isabella. So now I just discovered earlier in the intro that that's one of the most popular girl names. I didn't even know that. So now my husband won't let us use that. He said if the cat's named Isabella, even though we call her Izzy, we can't use that. But with the boy, we could not come up with a name. And long story short, we started calling him Mr. Poopy Pants. And this was
don't name your kid that, by the way.
No.
Well,
let me tell you.
People are
very concerned about this because everyone said you can't name your cat Mr. Poopy Pants, and it wasn't his name. It was just a placeholder until we figured out what we were going to call him. Was it going to be Sam or Eddie, or we were going to come up with a cute little name for him? But we never did. And 3 years later, my cat is Mr. Poopy Pants, and it's very funny when I'm at the vet and everyone's like, "Mr. Poopy Pants, Mr. Poopy Pants." We're like, "We're here," but now people are concerned because they're like, "You couldn't name a cat. How are you going to name your baby?"
Yeah, so, there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Although there Mr. Poopy Pants might work for a little.
Maybe temporary.
But it's not going to work on a birth certificate or a passport. So, yeah.
Pamela, what's your recommendation for couples who don't agree on a name, or who like one really likes it, and the other one's kind of on the fence, or one likes it, the other one just doesn't know?
Yeah, really common occurrence. You know, it's usually I have to say the poor wife who comes up with name after name, and the husband just sits there saying nope. I know we had a really funny blog once where the husband said, my wife's job was to suggest names, my job was to reject them.
It's so true.
But his wife finally said, she made a list of 10 names and she said, pick from the list. Or, you know, you can each make a list of 10 names and he's got to put things on the names and you swap lists and, you know, reject or accept, you know, there are thousands and thousands of names out there. We have 50,000 of them in Name Barrier in the Baby Name Bible. And I think you just need to keep working at it and try and, you know, keep a light tone and look for reasons behind the choice, because that might lead you to new names you didn't think of before.
Well, there's a lot of opinion and even superstition when it comes to selecting a baby name. When we come back, we're going to pull our expert Pam and our panelists here in the studio and get their reactions to issues surrounding baby names that some say are taboo. We'll be right back.
This season, prepare for every season with the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. These shoes were made for adventures in rain, shine, mist, or snow. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase.
All right, we're back, and we are talking all about baby names with our special expert, Pamela Redmond-Satran, and she is the co-founder of NameBerry.com. She's written a bunch of baby name books, and Pamela, I would love to have your take on some of these things, these questions, these topics that are a little bit taboo when it comes to revealing your baby name choice and making these decisions, and we'll just kind of go around the room here and get everyone's opinion. So first question is, when should parents reveal their baby name choice?
I think that it really can be smart to wait until after the baby's born to tell family and friends your real choice. For the reason that if you tell beforehand, everybody's going to jump in with their opinions. And if you tell afterward, I think people are going to feel a lot more pressure to keep quiet. On the other hand, as I said, you might want to go online to a site like Nameberry and get some opinions beforehand so you realize maybe ahead of time that everybody's going to have trouble pronouncing that name or spelling that name, or that that name's a lot more popular than you think.
That's what we've done, just how our families are. We just thought, you know what, if we tell them the name and they don't like it, then they're going to, they won't stop, you know, telling us that they don't like it.
That's the last thing you need to hear about.
You know, we really had like a feeling of how our firstborn was going to be, and we didn't want to be influenced by it. So we just kept it secret until he was born. And that's what we're doing this time around as well, for the same reason. And already, you know, I have my father telling me, you should call him this and you should call him that. And
everyone has their own
opinion, and
right?
It's like, okay, well, you know, for us, that's why we're not telling you, is because we know that how you're going to be.
I think that if you choose to announce it, you need to have some thick skin.
Yeah.
You do. You need to be very, very confident in your name. My husband and I were very confident in Urban, and we knew that it was one of those names that some people might not understand, including my mother. Who said, what? You're naming it what? And I said, Mom, you really just need to respect this, you know? And, you know, we're totally 100% for this. And we just need your support in this. And I will tell you, until we knew what we were having, because with my mom, we kind of gave her a heads up going into the ultrasound, the 20-week ultrasound. Okay, if it's a boy, we're going to...
Oh, you did tell her.
We did tell her, because she's just so opinionated. The moment she finds out that I'm pregnant, she wants to talk about baby names. So, you know, rather than hear it like every time I talked to her on the phone, I wanted her to know I had a name picked out, you know? So I kind of shared that with her before. But I'll tell you what, she fought me right up until we knew what it was. And the moment I called her and I said, we're having a little boy and his name's Urban. From that moment on, she was very supportive.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. She but just kind of dropped it. She's like, okay,
you made totally up your mind on it.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. You know, people I know who've picked a name beforehand and who have announced the name, I feel like they're so certain about it. They're 100% that I really feel that those people really don't care what anyone else has to think. They've chosen the name and this is the right name for them. And I think if that's how you are, then that's fine, because nothing's going to change your mind. And like you said, as long as you have some thick skin. And I think if people see that this is the name, then maybe they'll treat it the same way as if they would after the baby was born.
Hey, Pam, what advice can you give us on naming siblings?
A lot of parents now have a kind of sib set in mind when they choose the name. And the first name does kind of set the tone where a subsequent name should be compatible in style and feel, but not too matchy-matchy. You know, I think the Kardashians aside and the Duggars, you know, I think the days of John and Jane and Jean are sort of passé. So I would recommend that names feel like they're in the same family, so to speak. But I think you can take this too far with feeling like the names really have to go together. And as a result, you sort of bypass a name you really love. So don't take it too seriously.
Like, you mean by syllable, or you like how do you mean the name should go together?
Well, I think that, I think Sayer and Urban are actually a great pair because they're both really unusual. They're 5 letters, 2 syllables. They sort of have a real consistency with sound without sounding like Sayer and Sawyer, for instance, which would be too close.
Yeah, I was thinking the example that came to my mind was Kylie and Kaylee or something like that.
Yeah, where that's tough.
They're almost the same name, you know.
And you know when the mom gets mad, she's just going to blurt out what...
I feel like oftentimes people with twins do that, though. They'll pick two names
for
their twins that are super similar, too. And I think that's a whole other topic, because when people pick out their names for their twins, I'm like, how do they know which name goes with which baby? Is it whichever one comes out first?
I guess so.
Yeah, my sister-in-law had twin girls, and she did it alphabetically. The first baby born had the first name alphabetically, and her daughter's names are Georgia and Louisa, which I think are a perfect pair for twins or sisters, where, you know, they're both feminizations. They both have a vintage feel. They're unusual, but they're not too close, like mm-hmm. Lucy and Louisa, for instance, would be too close, I think.
Right. And then how much emphasis should we be placing on a baby's middle name? I feel like a lot of parents are trying to get the first names and the middle names to sound really good together, which is great. But how often are you really, at least in the U.S., using your middle name?
Isn't it when your mother's yelling at you?
Pretty much. I think so. That's what it comes
like
out.
That's it, you know. Cherry Haley.
It's funny because you asked that question. I'm curious the answer, just because for me, I'm so overwhelmed with the first name that I'm like, let's just get the first name and then we'll figure out a middle name later.
Right.
But I'm curious, is that important that they go together?
I think that more parents are looking for middle names that have serious meaning in terms of their family or something about their lives, and they'll use a name in the middle place like Justice or Indigo that has some personal meaning or family meaning, but that they might not use in first place, or like a grandmother's maiden name, for instance, that they wouldn't use in first place. The other thing that people are using as middle names are kind of connector middle names that I think are the modern equivalent of, you know, the Anns and Lees of our youth. And names that I'm hearing a lot these days in that way are June for girls, Rose for girls. For boys, it's probably James is one that seems to come up a lot. And I would sort of caution against this, because even if Rose sounds like a fresher choice and maybe it's your great grandmother's name, there are a lot of little girls with the middle name Rose, and it's just kind of a filler name in that middle place. I think in the middle place you can look for something with deeper meaning.
One of the things we haven't talked about but that affects me personally is I have a very long last name that mm-hmm. I've married into. It's a bit of a mouthful, Christensen. And I had a much shorter maiden name. But I find that that's part of the reason we're struggling with the name so much is that mm-hmm. because it's such a long name, most of the names that I've been attracted to are longer or have more syllables. And then it seems like such a mouthful, even mm-hmm. without putting a middle name in there. Do you have any advice for sort of taking into consideration your last name as well?
Yeah, I do. And I have to say that when I have three children and I gave them all two-syllable names for reasons that were not conscious. And our last name has two syllables, Satrin, and it ends with N. And afterward, I thought, that was really dumb, because I think that two-syllable is kind of a flatter rhythm, whereas I think the best rhythm is an unequal number of syllables in the first name and the last name. And the very best is, you know, if you've got a three-syllable last name, it would be 1-2-3 or 2-1-3. So you might want to pick, not that you're going to name nap from Sunny, but, you know, Sayer John Christensen would be a good choice. Or James Thomas Christensen. And not Sebastian Christensen.
Yeah.
Pamela, do you think parents overthink baby names?
I think that it can get to that point these days, but I think that there were so many decades when people underthought them, you know, witness the legions of Jennifers in the world.
Right.
And so I think that, no, I don't think they do, actually. I think that people can get to the point where they're a little bit crazy about it and, you know, no name seems right and you really just have to choose. But for the most part, I think that these are really symbolically important decisions and that they do bear a lot of discussion.
Well, a special thanks goes out to Pamela Redmond Satrin for being our special guest today. Pamela, it was great having you on the show. We loved all the information you gave us about baby names, and hopefully it will help a bunch of our listeners out there who are kind of on the fence as to what exactly they should do.
Well, thanks, Sunny, and good luck to you all.
Well, thanks.
Can't
so
wait
much.
To hear your name choices.
We'll have to get back to you.
We already know yours, so.
I know. I spilled the bean on mine, right?
Right. Yeah.
Well, if you want to learn more about Pamela, her books and her websites, you can visit the episodes page on our website and look for today's topic, which is all about baby names. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, we are giving away copies of two of her books, The Baby Name Bible and Beyond Ava and Aiden. If you guys want an opportunity to win a free copy of these books, all you have to do is head on over to our website, which is preggypals.com. If you click on episodes and then go down to contests, you can learn all about how you can enter. If you'd like to purchase any of her books, you could do so through our online store.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Before we wrap today's show, here are some baby registry secrets.
Hi, Preggy Pals. My name is Vivian, sales associate at Agana Baby, here to discuss some tips you want to consider when creating the perfect baby registry. The second tip is to consider your needs. There are items that will definitely need, such as bottles, pacifiers, feeding goods, and diapers. Your registry is a great place to include these items and get a head start on gathering them for your new baby. Make a list of which brands you prefer for those items and be sure to get them up on the registry for everyone to see. Remember, there are some items you may need that are a little more difficult for others to purchase. This doesn't mean leave them off of the registry, as there are people who very well might purchase them for you. Keep it in mind, many people usually have family members and close friends willing to spend a little more for the new addition to their family. Different parents also have different techniques in raising their babies. Some prefer cloth diapers over disposable. Some prefer carriers and slings over strollers. Some prefer organic materials. This is where you get to request the items needed for each of those techniques. As an example, if you would like to use cloth diapers, be sure to list the brand you prefer to use so you receive the items you want to raise your child with. Remember, not everyone has kids and not everyone will raise their children exactly as you will, so they may not be familiar with the products you are referring to. Being clear will help them find exactly what you're looking to receive and will make the process of shopping for the items a whole lot easier. This will be a huge benefit to you. For more tips on creating the perfect baby registry, as well as what to include in the registry, visit aganababy.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter at aganababy. And be sure to listen to Preggy Pals for more great registry tips in the future.
That's it for today's episode. If you have a pregnancy topic you'd like to suggest, we would love to hear it. Visit our website at preggypals.com or send us an email through the contact link. If you have any questions about today's shows or the topics we discussed, you can call our If you have any questions about today's show or the topics we discussed, call our Preggy Pals hotline at 619-866-4775, and we'll answer your question on an upcoming episode. Coming up next week, we're discussing natural childbirth with none other than the mother of midwives, Ina Mae Gaskin. She's an amazing woman with so much experience to share. You won't want to miss this episode. Thanks for listening to Preggy Pals, your pregnancy, your way.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating health care problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified health care provider.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.